Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart. I'm right here. Don't be afraid. It's been a hard week. A hard week to be an American. A hard week to be North Korean. A hard week to be black. A hard week to be white. A hard week to be progressive. A hard week to be conservative. To be Syrian, Christian, Muslim. It's been a hard week. Chaos is swirling. Hate in the form of white nationalism and U.S. exceptionalism are right here in our faces. There is no turning away. There's no hiding. And in our gospel, Jesus says, take heart. It is I. Don't be afraid. Seriously? Don't be afraid? And then Peter asks him to beckon him out onto the water, to walk toward him in faith. If it weren't for the events of this last week, I had planned to preach about living from our core. I had planned to talk with you about the metaphor of the storms in our lives that swirl and how they blow us off course, push us away from who we are, distract us from what we really know and believe, who it is that Christ calls us to be. I had planned to explore the stillness at the center of who we are, that is of God. I had planned to challenge our community to understand that walking on water is actually about embodying Jesus' courage, about living from Jesus' heart. But it hasn't been a normal week, has it? Thousands and thousands of white supremacists gathered to rally in Charlottesville, and the president promised to rain down fire and fury unlike the world has ever seen to North Korea. If it weren't for the events of this week, you'd be hearing about the fact that Jesus' friends were in chaos. Absolute chaos was reigning. John the Baptist had recently been killed in a political beheading, and Jesus had been swarmed by thousands of people, and instead of sending them away, he fed them, nourished them, gave them everything that he had, and he was spent. So he sends his friends off in a boat and finds a quiet spot to just finally have a chance to pray. They're all scared. The political climate is heating up. If John could be beheaded just for honestly critiquing Herod, the fact that Herod was married to Herod's brother's wife? What was going to happen to them when the authorities started to figure out just how subversive Jesus was? They love Jesus. They have dropped their whole lives to follow him. But maybe it's time to back off a little. Let Herod's people just do what they do and keep their heads down. Stay off the street. Maybe if they just let the old guard run its course, have their way, things will quiet down. Maybe right now just isn't the time to make waves. They set out in a boat, and the wind was against them. What a metaphor. The wind is against them. Nothing they do seems to be able to keep them on course. They're being tossed and thrown around and are rightfully afraid. And then Jesus says, "Take heart. I'm right here. Don't be afraid." Caroline Lewis, the preaching professor at Luther Seminary, points out that Jesus isn't saying, "Buck up, be brave. Peter, have some fortitude. For crying out loud, where's your gallantry?" That's not what Jesus says. He says, "Take heart." It's interesting here that our translators choose to tell us that it says, "Take heart," because just as faithful of a translation is, "Have courage." Courage coming from that root word, kur, to have heart. What does it mean to take heart, to have courage as this world, the chaos, swirls around us? Here, I think it means acting from our core, from the center of who we are, from our deepest selves, from our core beliefs. Not letting the chaos of what's around us dictate who we are and what we do and who we become. If it weren't for the events of last week, I had planned to tell you a rather intimate story. A story about how Scott and I, in trying to start a family, have been talking with some people who are close with us about adoption. I was having a conversation with someone very close to us one day, talking about processes and details, how much it costs, what all of the different things are that go into adoption. And then this person said to me, "But how hard will it be for you to get a white baby?" Get a white baby. I changed the subject immediately. I could not stay there. But my heart was like a hurricane swirling in one direction, and my head was a hurricane swirling in the other direction. And if my eyes could have bugged out like a cartoon coyote, they would have. I changed the subject, but was still just beside myself by the time I got home. And as I was telling Scott the story, trying to find some way to calm down, I wrapped it up with saying, and I am tempted to adopt every child of color that we can put our hands on. And while he also is interested and willing to do that, his response was, we cannot create a family out of spite. He was acting from his core. He understood it's right to be upset, but behaving out of spite is not a central value of who we are and who we want to be. In that instant, he called me back to my core, back to centeredness and groundedness and health, instead of the swirling storm that was my external being. He invited me to walk out on the water, living with heart and courage, instead of reacting to the storm. If it weren't for the events of this last week, I had planned to show you this children's sermon. Since we're not doing the children's sermons in a bag this year, I haven't had a chance to show you this. You take a large vase of water and try to float a paperclip on top of the water. Now, a paperclip is small enough that most of you can't see that immediately it dropped to the bottom. But if you rest a paperclip on a small piece of paper towel, and then gently set it on top of the water, it floats. But it gets better. That's after worship. If you gently press the paper towel away, the paper clip will still float if you do it when people aren't watching. We'll try one more time. Do try this at home. Ever so gently, press the supports away, and the paper clip still floats. I planned to show you that, and then to explore the idea that if we start out supported by our beliefs, supported by God's mercy and compassion and inclusivity and healing and hope, that we'll be able to walk on water amidst the chaos too. Friends, that's what I would have talked about if the events of this week hadn't happened. If Nazis hadn't overrun a U.S. city to rally people around hate and bigotry and white supremacy, to threaten a city that is doing its the hard work of reconciling with its own violent past, racist past. That's what I would have preached if the president had not threatened fire with fire against nuclear North Korea. But by the grace of God, the lesson of living from our core is still absolutely appropriate, perhaps even more so, even more critical. The chaos of the world does not show any sign of letting up. The storms that swirl around us and bang us up are real. The threat is to turn us off course, to distract us from love and mercy and compassion and inclusion and healing and hope, which we know are central to who our God is and what we are called to be. The challenge of being a follower of Jesus is to take heart, to act out of courage, to behave from your peace, not from your churning or fluttering or the external. As the protests were unfolding yesterday, I encountered an idea. If you've ever wondered how you would have behaved if you had been one of Jesus' apostles in that last week, if you've ever wondered how you would have reacted when the chips were down, when there was an opportunity to stand by him or flee, the opportunity to stand up for what you believe in, or the opportunity to slink away and watch things at a safe distance. If you've ever wondered if you would stand with love against the powers of evil, now's your chance.